Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. And this is one of my favorite monthly editions that we do. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We welcome your health questions. We've got a good handful left over from last hour. Before we jump into those questions and continue, if you just tuned in, I have an announcement to make. And no, I'm not pregnant. I'm sorry. You just gasped, didn't you? I'm not really. I'm too old. Anyway, but I do have an announcement to make. If you listen often enough, you know I've battled health-wise, and our family's walked through some pretty significant hardships in this last year. Well, it's caught up with me, and Dr. Troy's been telling me for months that I'm not going to get better unless I have a concentrated time of rest. And so starting next week, I'm going to be off for 5 weeks. It's a medical leave. I'm just not getting on top of the symptoms where I need to. And so I'm finally taking Dr. Troy's advice, and I pray that you will pray for me and pray for our family. And Bill will be in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday live, and I'll have some past re-aired shows on Mondays and Wednesdays. And Dr. Troy, just if you wouldn't mind, again, just commenting on the importance of rest and recouping and how things catch up with us and why I need to do this.
Yeah, definitely. Rest and recuperation, it's the only way to build our reserves. And the analogy or the way I talked about before is if you have digestive problems or even brain-related problems, biblically we know fasting is a very important part of getting clarity. The reality is, though, you're giving your body a break, and it can start to do things that you weren't capable of doing. And so health is all about proper communication. And when we are so busy helping others, and I talked about you as being a servant leader, and that's truly what you are. Servant leaders are people that have a heart to help others, and they're constantly in action doing that. But the reality is that you have to be very protective of your own communication internally. Mm-hmm. And when there's a breakdown in communication, then that there becomes dysfunction. Dysfunction is what leads to disease. So to help prevent disease, we have to restore that normal communication to help with that dysfunction. And so when things start to communicate properly, the best of who you are starts to come out. So it will be even more of a gift because you'll have your reserves back.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for explaining that. And so last hour we talked, a listener wanted to know if she had perpetual kidney stones. What you had to say was so interesting. If you just tuned in, you might want to go back and hear that whole hour. There was so much good conversation there. But what was interesting is you said oftentimes fear is the driving emotion. And you asked about heartburn. And you mentioned about if that's the case, then calcium's not going to be absorbed. So it matters that calcium's present, potassium, magnesium, I think, if I remember you said.
Yep.
But, okay, speak a little bit more about that, because that particular listener got back to me and said fear is actually a very big thing for her. So how does she balance all of that? Because you can imagine the stress causes heartburn, the fear, you know, makes it hard to digest, and so she's not absorbing what she needs to do.
Yeah, the first thing is to work on getting on top of the emotion, and there are many different ways to do that. Applying one's faith is also very, very important, and just trusting in God is a good first step to always put that in God's hands, and doing. And that's the step. And then there's a process with that as well. But working on what helps you with the emotion or helps them with the emotion is very, very important, the fear. The second part of that is when we have a stress that's a chronic stress like that, there's going to be a consequence to our digestive system. So people have acute stress, like really severe acute stress, we know that they get ulcers. And ulcers are basically our little holes in our digestive tracts, actually ulcerations in the digestive system because of these imbalances. Now, the majority of the chronic conditions actually have low stomach acid because there's a timing mechanism that starts to go off. So the reality is we don't see the proper absorption of calcium and fixing the stomach. Many of these people need actual hydrochloric acid pills to digest the protein and get the calcium as well. It also helps with B12, just an FYI. And getting that part of the digestive system corrected is very, very crucial for this. And it's not that calcium is bad. It's just you're not using it properly. So many, many times these people will also have osteoporosis in their family history or not having the proper laying down of bone. So I want to explain that a little bit because if you're not absorbing calcium, it's very dangerous to have low calcium in our blood. So we rarely see that blood calcium drop really low because if it starts to drop too low, your body will send a signal to go find calcium.
In the bone.
In the bone.
Wow.
And pull it out of the bone. So not only do we not get a proper laying down of the calcium in the bone, sometimes we actually see it being pulled from the bone during times of high stress because you're not absorbing the calcium.
Hmm.
So avoiding dairy is very, very important too. So if stress is not a part of it, then people can develop dairy sensitivities. And if your immune system's attacking the dairy, you're not the immune system's not allowing the minerals to properly be dispersed throughout the body. So dairy sensitivities can become quite problematic. So the best source of calcium is actually in the greens, just like cows. They eat grass and other things like that, and they get enough calcium for their bones from the actual grasses. So greens, sesame seeds are very, very high in calcium.
Wow.
And great, if you can tolerate it digestively, great source of calcium. So a handful of sesame seeds on a salad or a tuna filet or something like that is an awesome source of calcium that's non-dairy. It's actually got a lot more usable calcium in sesame seeds than a cup of milk.
Whoa, that's amazing. Okay, so then we've got, I've got so many questions here. All right, donated a kidney, can't tolerate much food or medications, advice. And then the second question, follow-up from that same listener, Kathy is her name, diagnosed with osteoporosis, and I can't tolerate the medications they want me to do, the once-a-year infusion, but I'm worried about it. What say you?
Yeah, that's a very tough, tricky scenario because a lot of medications are either metabolized in the liver or the kidneys. And the fact that you can't tolerate a lot of foods tells us that there's probably some dysfunction in the liver system. And having only one kidney, it's got to concentrate the acids in your body and pull it all out through that one kidney. So the reality is there's probably a lot of intestinal dysfunction going on there that's causing inflammation that's also congested the liver system as well. So to help our main detoxifying organs are the liver and kidney. The lungs are also part of the detoxification process, but our liver and kidney are our two main detoxifying organs. So if you're down to one kidney, you want to support the liver as much as possible. So if you look up liver-friendly diets, which means no caffeine, no alcohol, reduced inflammation, which generally means sugars and food allergies, making sure that the digestive system is working fine. If there's a problem with the stomach, the pancreas, or the liver gallbladder, that can throw off the digestive tract. And so we start to see that you don't tolerate foods as well. And if you are on medications that are being metabolized by the liver, when you only have one kidney, then that can cause challenges as well. So medications, caffeine, alcohol are the three biggest challenges to the liver system when you are already at bay. And hormones. So hormones are also broken down in the liver system. So it's important to get the inflammation out of there, basically support the liver system to really help the kidneys out.
Any supplements that help with inflammation? Turmeric, I think, right?
Turmeric is a good one. Yep. Very good, Dr. Larson.
Thank you.
Yep.
Let's just pause for a moment.
Yep.
Is this what it feels like to be you?
Yeah.
I just want to... Okay, I'm ready
okay.
now.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good now.
Okay. Turmeric's a really good one. Fish oils are anti-inflammatory as well and help quite a bit with that process. Milk thistle helps the liver in pulling out a lot of the chemicals from our environment. Alpha-lipoic acid and N-acetylcysteine that help make up glutathione, also very important for the liver system to help reduce our inflammation. So those are all very, very important. There's a lot of other anti-inflammatories too. I'm not doing it justice, but antioxidants in general – like vitamin C can even act as an anti-inflammatory. and really helping stimulate the part of the immune system to clean things up can also have an anti-inflammatory process. Like vitamin D has a secondary anti-inflammatory process because of how much it helps the immune system manage and clean up its environment.
Interesting. Okay, we've got a couple minutes. We're going to take a little bit later quarter hour break, Matt, just because I want him to talk about seasonal affective disorder. And we've got another question about somebody whose dad's not been sleeping more than 90 minutes at a time. We're going to tackle that one after the break. What do you say about seasonal affective disorder? Is it real? What's a person to do?
100% it's real. And it's called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And it happens in the wintertime, basically, where we don't get the sunlight. And the majority, what you have to do is get your vitamin D levels up really high. So in the wintertime, we don't get the sun exposure. And if our vitamin D levels drop too much, that will have an impact internally. And people start to get a depressive mood. And so getting your vitamin D up a lot helps. They have light therapy. It's actually something that you will feel instantly when you buy a seasonal affect disorder light, a SAD light.
Hmm.
So it doesn't sound very hopeful, but
it's good.
They should
name it something different, I'm just saying.
Yes, the hopeful SAD light. I don't know. But it works very well.
Wow.
And so getting that that light helps quite a bit with seasonal affect disorder, but also helping to correct the underlying condition. So again, vitamin D is converted in the liver, and generally speaking, there's an inflammatory problem going on that is burning up, using up the liver's ability to convert the vitamin D properly. And so you want to address that for the next year. So we see this a lot in Alaska. They have some, they get to a certain point where there's no sunlight for 24 hours straight.
Can't imagine.
And people who live up there, many of them get seasonal affect disorder, but many of them don't. And so that there's a lot to be said about keeping that system of that vitamin D conversion and what vitamin D does. Earlier we talked about how it protects the lining of your digestive tract. Our lifestyle plays a lot into that, as well as far as identifying the foods that we're reacting to, making sure the bacterial imbalances aren't there. And the sad truth is we've become an antibiotic-rich society where it's destroying our environmental, our biome, if you will, in the intestinal tract, causing inflammation. And so it all plays together, but just to start, get your vitamin D up, get the light, and then start to find the underlying liver digestive issues that might be present.
Boy, so good. Where do you get that light? Amazon?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
SAD light?
SAD, S-A-D, light, or just light for seasonal affect disorder.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a number of questions to tackle, but the next one up is this dear listener whose dad's been sleeping in only 90-minute increments, and it's starting to affect his short-term, long-term memory. Don't go away. We welcome your questions, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment. Having a great conversation today with Dr. Troy. It's this month's edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Thanks for your questions. I see a bunch of them on the board. We're going to hope and pray we can get through all of them, but I still want to welcome your calls, and we're just going to do our best to navigate this very busy landscape. I love it. 877-933-2484. This dear listener writes in and says, Dad's been sleeping in only 90-minute increments for almost 6 months. He's forgetting things both short-term, but also full weekends and experiences that really no longer he has any memory of. He's an intellect and a scholar, so it's incredibly frustrating for him. He lives in West Virginia. I'd send him in. Your thoughts?
Well, when we sleep, I mean, this sounds very simplistic, but I mean, he's most likely got a sleep disorder, which, you know.
But there's more than one.
Genius, right?
Yeah, right.
He's not sleeping. Well, he's got a sleep disorder.
Yeah,
that's amazing. But there's more than one. And the reality is we have 45-minute sleep cycles and 4-hour sleep cycles that you want to pay attention to. And 90 minutes tells me the one sleep cycle is working, but only twice, and then he's up. And so the 4-hour sleep cycle is not engaging. And that most likely fits with the REM sleep disorder. So he may or may not be diagnosed with sleep apnea. That still could be a thing. But if he's not overweight, then most likely we're dealing with a REM sleep disorder. If you sleep deprive anyone, they will eventually, and I'm not saying this is accurate, but become a babbling fool as far as not being able to put thoughts together. It doesn't matter what they were before, but you sleep deprive Einstein and he won't make sense. He'll be mixing words. Mm-hmm. He'll be looking very much like a completely different person. So sleep deprivation, the memory loss could be 100% due to the sleep deprivation. We don't know. Now, if there's something else going on, that would have to be addressed with an actual MRI scan. There are things that will look at that. Pineal, little tumors on the pineal gland are a possibility. But the first place I'd look at is that REM sleep disorder. It's called upper airway resistance syndrome. And a lot of things can trigger that at many different stages of life. So it's a weakness in the muscles of the airway that when they get into deep sleep, they actually collapse. And so you get woken up before you get into that next stage or level of sleep because your brain is releasing cortisol or adrenaline. Now, as we start to get diminished in our levels of those hormones as we get older, we actually have a hard time. The brain will still send the signal. We have just enough to wake us up, but then we can't recover from that. And so the reality is to look at things like what we call anterior head carriage, if the head's too far forward. Chiropractors who do a seated occiput adjustment can help quite a bit with that scenario. Looking at other triggers that might be setting that off as well can be anything from digestive referrals. Gallbladder and ileocecal valve syndrome are the two most common causes of that physical manifestation of the head going forward. But most likely I would work in that REM sleep disorder arena. I am writing a book on this. That's what my next book is on. And so I have to wait for that to come out. But mm-hmm. The chiropractors generally have the most success with this if they do the right adjustment. But how do I say this? I don't think they know the success that they're having yet because that we've got a direct correlation or direct link with some of our research on a particular type of adjustment to fix the sleep disorder. And so many of them know how to do that adjustment, but they haven't been taught in school yet that there's a coordinated or a combined, that they go together, basically.
So interesting. Wow. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, yep. We're going to take a live call here from Sharon. She's got a question for Dr. Troy. Sharon, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much, Susie. We will miss you the next 5 weeks. Mm. I pray for restoration for you. You just do a tremendous job
with
your
program.
Thank you so
much. Bless you. Thank you.
And I appreciate the doctor, too, when he's there every month. I've had two very invasive surgeries in the last 7 years. One involved my brain and the other involved my heart. Neither of them turned out the way the docs had predicted. They both pretty much kind of failed. And there wasn't a whole lot of follow-through from the very same docs that did this. What kind of suggestions would Doc have about where can I start over again now to try to get some of the quality of my life back?
That's a good question, and with something like this, you want to start with the basics. So when it comes to your overall health, it's all about proper communication. And so we want to have good communication between the brain and the body. The best place to start is to find someone who does functional medicine and or functional neurology, and they can do functional assessments on how the brain is communicating with the body and look at lab work to see what needs to be done. Without knowing the specifics of history and why the surgeries were indicated in the first place, it's hard to know, give specific recommendations, which we would actually never do with something that serious anyway over the air here. But to get the main goal is to get proper communication back. And so you can use discernment on whether or not you are getting that type of recommendations from the doctors you're going to see. But functional medicine helps a lot with the chemical side of things. And functional neurologists, chiropractic neurologists, the majority of them are chiropractors. There's more and more of them that are popping up around the country. And so finding people who will assess you in that manner will give you the game plan of how to restore your mental, chemical, and physical communication so that you can start to restore your health again. Now, it is a process always, and we were going to talk about this later, but one of my visions that I have for this country is to make that a part of our mainstream. So I'll probably talk about that in a little bit, but finding people who address the health in a functional manner is really what's needed here. So do a little digging into functional medicine, functional neurology, and see if you can find someone local to tap into them assessing you to give you some guidelines. There are some books out there. There's one about kids that can where you can do an at-home assessment. It's called Disconnected Kids. It's for ADD, ADHD, but the brain exercises or evaluations, he actually has an at-home version. It's still very complicated, but it can give you some insight as well, even for adults. And nutritionally, when you have heart and brain without knowing the real details, you want to look at and make sure things chemically are where they should be, because both of those areas are supposed to be protected areas. And when we start to lose our barrier systems, almost always there's what we call leaky gut, leaky brain, leaky heart. And when we start to see these barrier systems break down with lungs too, do you have asthma or any other breathing challenges?
No.
Okay. So,
no.
That's the fourth barrier. Getting those things assessed will help you get on the right path. But in functional medicine, it starts with the basics of restoring your digestive system, but looking at where there's a breakdown in communication.
Sharon, thank you so
much.
Have
you ever helped people that have had surgeries that have gone poorly?
Well, yes, but also, yes, definitely that happens. But also there are just some things we can't help when it depends on your definition of gone poorly, and it depends on what's permanent. With the way we work in the functional medicine world is the systems still have to be working somewhat. There has to be some level of communication for us to restore and enhance it. If there's permanent injury, not a lot we can do about that permanent injury site, but possibly help restore other forms of communication that can help manage it. So the answer is yes and no. There are a lot of people we don't and aren't able to help. Depends on the specifics of what you mean by the surgeries didn't go as planned.
Mm. Sharon, thank you so much for that call. And I do pray God's richest blessing on you. And I pray he heals and restores you, because you know what? He's still in the business of miracles. And we're seeing those as well. So Lord bless you. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I'm going to finally give you the chance to cast that vision. I really want to hear. I just know this is something that's been on your heart and something we can even pray for. We've got questions from listeners. One about postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, POTS. That's what it's known by. My son actually had that years ago. And this dear listener has a daughter who's dealt with major issues around that. We'll unpack that, explain that. Dr. Troy will talk about that. Also, Karen says, I can get to sleep, but I have trouble staying asleep and I stay away from caffeine. Let's see here. I have tremors in my hands and head. Could it be related to the Lyme disease I have? That's from Gail. I'm going to try to get to these and some of these emails coming in just a moment. Don't go away. More with Dr. Troy in a minute. Tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Dr. Troy today. I get him in studio every month. So blessed to have him and his wisdom for you. You've got questions and we've got answers for you, Lord willing. And it's been an amazing conversation. But we're going to pause here just for a moment. We've got lots of questions, but I want Dr. Troy to have a chance to just cast a vision. If you could dream a little bit, because I know you are a dreamer. And I just think that's the people who get things done, is when we get visions that are beyond us. So share, if you would, just if in a perfect world, if the healthcare system could look the way you think it should, what would it look like?
Ooh, I feel like Christmas right now.
Yeah. Lots of basal ganglias talking
yes,
to each other.
Yes, that's right. I've always had a vision, and I didn't know, I didn't know what it was going to look like, but recently I've got more of a more clarity on it. A lot of prayer has gone into this, and many times I've backed down from that vision and just said, you know, life would be easier if I just kept my nice little practice and did that. But God keeps poking me and nudging me and occasionally kicking me hard into the direction. Yeah, and into the right direction. And so 18 years ago, or maybe about 16 years ago, when I've got my vision up on the wall as far as my clinic, where we use the word sanctuary. You read it in the beginning. Mm-hmm. We want to create a sanctuary and have that be the environment people walk into. So number one, that's a very important word to me in my vision as far as the clinic is concerned. But also I wrote on there to become a worldwide agent of change in the fields of healthcare and human potential. And I had no idea why that made it into my vision back then. But right now, I 100% do. And that, I mean, that's 18 years later. And the reality is, I didn't know what I didn't know back then, but I can see a tremendous need in our healthcare system right now and the breakdown in the model that we have. It's a very expensive model. We spend more than any other country on the planet because we've gone down a road that of technology. And don't get me wrong, it saves a lot of lives. And I don't want to lose that. But I have tons of medical doctors that are just frustrated with not being able to get the results with certain patients: fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, autoimmune, the obesity epidemic. These things are things we actually love in our world of functional medicine. Now, it's a process, but my vision is one of taking the best of the traditional medical model and the best of the alternative. I'm going to call it alternative, but I believe what we do in functional medicine, it should be mainstream alongside with the traditional. Keep our hospitals and our emergency rooms the same, but have these smaller clinics where medical doctors, chiropractors, therapists work together and start to help people from a mental, chemical, and physical perspective. And we've done the cost analysis, and we'll save insurance companies thousands of dollars per patient, tens of thousands actually, in the groups that we looked at. And it's just starting to slowly develop. I'm now talking with CFOs of hospitals, CEOs of health insurance companies, and they're reaching out and looking for stuff like this. And so the insurance companies are in trouble. We've, even in Minnesota here, we've had insurance companies start to fold, and they're looking for answers. And we know how to get people better that are costing our current healthcare model quite a bit, and at a tenth the cost, and it's not covered by insurance. So having that conversation with the insurance world, and for me, I have a vision where we do have healthcare for everyone at a fraction of its current cost, where we all actually are covered, but it's different. It's a different mindset. It's a different culture in our nation. What I am talking about is a culture where the doctors take responsibility for the results or the lack of results that they're getting, and their compensation is reflective of that. Insurance companies take responsibility for their results as well, and it's not about business and profit. It's about the people, and the people take responsibility, because my two cents here, I'm going to try and do this in a way that I offer hope, but my observation is we have people right now in our society and culture that abuse the medical healthcare system, and we have people in charge of the healthcare system that abuse it. And both, all these people are pointing out each other's problems, and they're both right. And they can go to court of law, and they'll both be right. And yet there's this group of people in the middle that are stuck taking care of it all. And the reality is, if we all come from a place of taking responsibility for our health, it'll help our nation, and when we work together, it's much, much more cost-effective than people think. The number one reason why people don't come to a clinic like mine, other than the fact that it's full and they have to wait a long time, is the cost. And so if we can have clinics around the country that are accepted in this model, working together with the best of the traditional world and what we do in functional medicine, you'll see a significant, significant change with results. And there are countries doing it decently. Switzerland is doing a phenomenal job, but they're a culture of responsibility. And in Switzerland, if you leave your wallet on the subway or bus, you will get it returned to you the next day. that's a different culture and mindset than we have right now. So especially as Christians, we need to lift each other up and take responsibility for our health. And there's a lot we can do with diet and lifestyle, things that do not cost a lot that will help save us lots of money so that the money can be used for the people who truly need it. And using discernment on who those people are is crucial.
Boy, that is so... I'm going to write your name in on the presidential ticket. I'm just kidding. No, that's fantastic, Dr. Troy, really. And when you think about it, this is just what's true. There have been doctors behind the scenes who've sent you patients that they just couldn't help. They cared enough about their patient to say, we've tried everything, and would you take over from here? And yet it feels, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it feels like even when they have to do that, it's sort of behind the scenes a little bit. It seems like there needs to be a mutual respect rather than, a diss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. And that is changing. We get referrals from Mayo Clinic now. We're getting many medical doctors as patients and their families.
Nice.
And so the culture is changing that way, and there's a need. And for the first time, we have the insurance world, the medical world, and the chiropractic world, and the functional medicine world all talking together.
That's amazing.
Coming to the table, and things are happening. People are falling into the path now that I recently made this declaration within the last year and with conviction and 100% a big kick from God declared that I was going to do it. And people have come into my life that have helped to facilitate that. So,
that's fantastic.
Change is coming.
And then this is why there's always hope. And, talk for a moment here about personal responsibility. You hear stories all over the place of people whose their cholesterol's up not by genetics but by absolute diet, right? And they'll call their pill, what's the name of the pill, the cholesterol medicine? There's a name.
The statins.
They're silver bullets. So they do that, and then they just go back to their regular stuff. And the same thing. I mean, depression is a real thing. I walked through a mild depression over 20 years ago, but back then when I was walking through it, I heard people say it's my silver bullet, and they never deal with what the underlying reason for the issue. I just feel like personal responsibility needs to be held for all of us. And what would happen if we didn't just go when all of a sudden things were crazy, but we were willing to do the work? Because I'm sure that the people who come through your clinic, the ones who fare the best, are the ones who take their responsibility and do the very things you ask them to do.
Yeah, 100%. And the reality is I've had a lot of experience. I come from Canada and their healthcare system, their model, and I grew up with it. And I love my Canadian heritage, love the Canadian people. The health system is a mess. And so I didn't stay there because it didn't foster someone like me being in that system. Mm. And so a lot of problem solvers go to more of the system they had down here. But there's challenges with our system down here in the United States as well. And so taking responsibility is a big, big part of it. And when I first got into practice, I became part of the network, and I was not being reimbursed for the types of things I was doing. And it turned out I was making $6.50 an hour.
Ooh.
Yes.
And you hung in there.
Well, I almost went to work at SA across the street because they were offering me $7.
Well, yeah.
But I hung in there. But one of the unfortunate realities is I had to opt out of the system and charge cash for what I was doing. Mm. And what ended up happening is I only attracted the people who valued my services enough, number one, to pay cash for it. But the other thing was, if I didn't get them better, I don't survive.
Yeah.
So I had to take responsibility for learning how to get them better. And that's what created what we currently run right now. And I attract the doctors that work with us and Force at Synapse. They are problem solvers. They will look at stuff after the fact. Dr. Megan, who's at our clinic, I can't get her to stop looking at research and to asking for more seminar money and stuff like that. She's going to get me for that one, saying that. She's always asking for more funds to go learn some more. But the reality is that's what you want. You want doctors working for you. And in the beginning, I made one promise to each and every one of my patients when I opened the clinic, started working with them, and that was, I may not have an answer for you. I can't guarantee that I'll get you better, but I guarantee you'll never find someone that'll work harder for you. And I found out that people just want a partner in their health journey.
Exactly.
Because there's bumps along the road, and you need to just trust that person that they're going to be there for you and make the right recommendation. And that's where personal responsibility from the doctor's point of view is very, very important. And I think if we had to pay out of pocket first and get reimbursed second, that would make a big difference, because if you have to pay $30,000 for a surgery and you know that ahead of time, you're going to do whatever it takes prior to that to help delay that as much as possible.
Wow. Yeah. That's yeah, really. And when you think, again, a personal responsibility, all the things we've talked about over the months, I'm wondering how many of us are applying, you know, as far as managing my thought life, taking a look at my diet, establishing a good bedtime routine. I mean, truly, things could be transformed in our healthcare system. But as you said, everybody has to look at what their piece is. But boy, I think we would find obesity go, you know, and obesity-related diseases go way down, and yes, stressors go down, because we'd manage things so differently. How can people pray for this vision to come to fruition? What's a way that we should be praying?
Just pray for our country, our leadership, and personally, I would request that people just pray that God puts the right people in my path to make this a reality. Because with conviction, I'm doing it, and yeah, with God's right. help, I'm doing it. And this is not something I'm doing alone. I couldn't, and so I need absolutely the right people to make this a reality.
Boy, so good. Okay, we're going to pause, and we're going to try to get through as many questions as we can with our last segment with Dr. Troy. And I promise to get to the question about the listener whose daughter has postural orthostatic tachycardia. The reason I said that is because I wanted you to think I was smart, because I can say that thing. No, it's actually a really good question, and you said it's kind of a common issue. So we're going to address that one from our dear listener. I won't give her name, but don't go away. We've got lots of questions to cover in a short amount of time. We'll be back in a minute. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Dr. Troy, who's in studio with us again. A special thanks to him, who gives us 2 hours every single month to answer your questions. This dear anonymous listener called in, said, had my gallbladder taken out to try to remedy acid reflux. That feels like a big old step to me. I'm just personally inserting that. But this listener said, still get symptoms. What do you say?
If the symptoms are still there afterwards, there a couple things can happen. So number one, gallbladder removal is the number one surgery in Minnesota right now. And if it's not dietary, one of the things that one of the hidden causes is, from what we talked about earlier, estrogen-like hormones that are congesting the liver system. The number one reason for number one manifestation of estrogen dominance in men is gallbladder problems. And so they get it a little differently than women. But so if this is a man, then we might be, and their diet's pretty clean, they don't eat the fried fatty food, then it's a problem with bile. So the challenge is the gallbladder is just a sac that retains and holds the bile. So it doesn't actually make the bile or anything like that. The liver does. So if the problem is in the liver and you remove the gallbladder, it'll still persist. So the timing mechanism is off between the liver system releasing the bile and the stomach system releasing the acid and the pancreas releasing the enzymes. So that sour stomach acid reflux can occur. Now, something very commonly that we see in the functional world is the stomach gets caught on the diaphragm. So it can be as simple as pulling the stomach down off of the diaphragm. And the stomach has these cells called parietal cells that when they get any pressure against them, they release stomach acid. So if your stomach is caught in the diaphragm, even if it's just a little bit of it, every time you take a deep breath or breathe, it's actually triggering that reflex. And so it can start to release stomach acid at the wrong time.
Wow.
And so a physical condition can also set it up. Also, ulcers and hidden infections like H. pylori in the stomach is another common cause of irritation to the lining of the stomach, which then can trigger the acid reflux. And also sleep disorder or valve disturbance. So the valve in the top of the stomach, the flap may not close properly because the muscle's not working because of a sleep disorder. And so people who are in fight or flight, not in rest and digest are not getting the proper nerve support to the stomach. So there's a bunch of variables there. But my guess is first start with the stomach being caught in the diaphragm. Most chiropractors know how to do it. Some doctors, medical doctors know how to do it. But it's just a gentle tug on the stomach to pull it down, release it. And then if that doesn't take care of it, look for food sensitivities or something might be inflaming the digestive system. Check for the hidden infection of H. pylori and get the liver working better.
Would you be, if that was the first suggestion from a doctor to remove that gallbladder, would you say time out, pause? Is that,
I mean, 100%, yeah. Okay. And that's nothing against the medical doctor, because it's very commonly the problem is addressed and fixed doing that, because especially if it shows up on ultrasound that the gallbladder is really dysfunctional. But I treat some doctors and nurses who are part of gallbladder removal, and I ask them, how often do you see healthy gallbladders come out? And they said quite often, because you can have the bile duct be inflamed and have the exact same symptoms. So it's tricky to discern that. And so, and to my previous conversation, unfortunately, it's a covered, covered surgery.
So easy to go to.
Easy to go to because insurance covers it, but very expensive.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. I have had many people with similar symptoms. We pull down the stomach. That's a $23 charge versus a $15,000 surgery. So that's some of the cost differential where you'll save at times, and that's the kind of stuff I'm talking
about.
And
it goes back again to personal responsibility, because we are such a quick fix society that we at times would opt for an expensive surgery if insurance is covering it, rather than a personal responsibility of having to take a few steps to get it fixed.
We
got to look at that.
Yes,
you know?
100%. We are a culture that really, really likes to use other people's money.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Is this true? Okay, so we promised to get to this dear listener who said her daughter has POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. She said she could sleep 12 hours a day and still not feel rested. She has autonomic dysfunction. Fructose intolerance, has been having a very high heart rate, 180 to 230. She has many other issues that flow out of these major ones. We feel we've tried everything and we don't know where to turn. Every doctor we go to either starts over or just works with the one specialty he has and ignores the other symptoms, causing them to increase with his suggested treatment. She's now 22, and we've been seeing these symptoms from birth. Oh, God bless her.
Yeah, from birth is a long time. Usually POTS we see in teenagers, manifest in teenagers, and a lot of times the hormone changes of teenage years are very much a part of the problem. From birth tells me there's a sleep disorder part of it as well. POTS, every single POTS person that comes in is dehydrated that we've looked at.
Wow.
So we have not had one that's been normally hydrated as Susie takes a sip of her water.
Something was really thirsty. Sorry.
So it's very, very common. And POTS you cannot take linearly. One of the things she said there, that two things are very accurate, is we find autonomic dysfunction with all POTS. We've never had a POTS not have the autonomic dysfunction. Number two, you can't treat the symptoms linearly. Like if high blood pressure is part of it, as an adult, they will put you on high blood pressure medication. Well, that's not the problem. Autonomic nervous system, basically, again, the way to think of it is being in fight or flight. Mm. If you're in fight or flight, that's being chased by a tiger, your brain's going to send information to all of the parts of your body that'll help you fight or flee from the tiger. That means blood flow to your arms and legs so you can get the heck out of there, not to your digestive system. So we end up with people having problems with rest and digest. So if you're being chased by a tiger, really bad time to take a nap or sit down and eat lunch. So you don't get the brain supporting the body with that. And so we see blood flow going to arms and legs, arms and legs, arms and legs, not brain and gut. Because you don't necessarily want to be reflexive when you're in that fight or flight state, not thinking about stuff. So we don't get the blood flow. So a lot of these people feel weak when they stand up. They can pass out and faint it's because they're not getting the circulation to the right areas. So you have to address the fight or flight component to this and fix the sleep disorder, first of all. So there, when you sleep 12 hours and don't feel rested, you have a sleep disorder. Or anemia, one of the two. You're not getting oxygen to the right areas. And so It's important to fix the sleep disorder. You have to restore the digestive tract. At this point, it's compromised. You have to actually rebuild it. That means good bacteria. That means the lining itself. And you have to rehydrate the system. It takes a complete retraining process. Every POTS patient, we have to do what's called neuromuscular reeducation. We have to literally take the brain and teach it how to communicate with each muscle group in the arms and legs to shut it down so that the other parts can start to work better.
Wow.
So we stimulate and exercise the parasympathetic part of the nervous system, not the sympathetic part. And that sounds weird. Sympathetic mm-hmm. in the brain mm-hmm. terminology is completely different than
right.
you caring, like, aw.
Yeah. oh. Isn't it like smooth muscle or involuntary
exactly
or something?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Dr. Larson.
Come on, somebody. Am I the only one who noticed this? Just now? I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Anyway, always trying to keep up with you, Dr. Troy. But very interesting. So, and how long does that process take?
6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. In severe cases, longer.
Which is a short time when you're looking at 22 years.
Yes. Yep. In the grand scheme of things.
Wow.
So, we've had many POTS even come in wheelchairs and eventually are walking, playing soccer, getting back to regular sports activities once you get everything reset.
Hmm. And so at the core of it, there's a dysfunction, but stress and sleep and an unhealthy gut are the things that trigger it. Is that right? Are those the causes of it?
No, they're not the causes, but those are the things that triggers.
Kind of
so
the
anything
atmosphere.
That, yes. So
mm-hmm.
anything that sets off a stress response mentally, chemically, or physically. So mental stress can now become a trigger at this point. A bacteria, a cold or flu can become a trigger at this point. Things that you and I kind of take for granted, well, maybe not this crowd, but mm-hmm. Things that people in a good state of health take for granted, their immune system just handles, you can become compromised that way. And so food allergies can become a trigger. So it's virtually impossible to go through a day without being triggered. That's part of the problem.
Wow. Okay, we're going to wrap up. I'm going to pray here in just a moment, but I'm trying to think. We have just basically 1 minute. Maybe leave us with this. For everybody listening, what are some, just give us a few things that we absolutely can and should do for our health, all of us.
Number one, I'm going to say pray. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say be still, relax. Mm, maybe I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I've been listening. Yep.
Be still. Take time for ourselves. Five basics. We want to drink water and retain the water. Number one. Number two, we want to manage our stressors. When I say be still and relax, pray and meditate on God's good word. Number three, really, truly identify if you're sleeping deeply, remembering your dreams. If you're not remembering your dreams, there's a reason why. Take care of it. Don't ignore it. Number four, eat healthy. That means God made real food, whole food. And number five, move. We need exercise. We need movement. Movement stimulates the brain. If we don't have movement, we lose the ability of the brain to communicate effectively with our body.
Wow, fantastic. Well, Dr. Troy, I cannot thank you enough for giving us your time again today. And I pray God pours it right back into you for what you poured out. And I'm just looking forward to the day that we have a conversation about what God has done with the healthcare system, because you were the David who decided to face off Goliath. I don't know who Goliath is in the analogy, but I think it's pretty awesome. Well, Father, thank you so much for this time. And I do pray, God, I believe you've given Dr. Troy a vision. I pray that you will bring it to fruition, that you would allow him to meet the right people. You'd open doors no man can close. You could move mountains. And I pray for a victory, because everybody wins that way, Lord. And pray for my friend listening today who's hurting, who's weary and well-doing, who's tired of being sick and tired. Pray that you give them wisdom and clarity about their next steps and lead them to the right person who can help them. And I do pray that you would help us know a physical, emotional, spiritual strength and health like we've never known before. We love you, Lord. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for your promises. And we thank you for wisdom for each of our stories. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to miss you, really going to miss you. So be praying, and I'll be praying for you, and we'll be back here. I'll be back here on December 5th, I think it is. That sounds right. God bless you. Talk to you soon.